Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before I begin this morning, let me assure you that what you cannot see today is a smile as I begin this story. There is a crisis in the rectory. I can put up with a lot. I mean, I've been putting up with a lot for 2 years. A lot I've been putting up with. Remind you that I'm smiling because three of you just panicked. Somebody else dumped the cat litter yesterday. Somebody else dumped the cat litter yesterday, and they don't seem to understand that I dumped the cat litter. That I dumped the cat litter at 7 a.m., not 6:59, not 7:01, but it's 7 a.m. Somebody else dumped the cat litter this morning. Now, up to about 2 years ago, I could not have cared less if the cat litter ever got dumped. But for some reason, it has become part of a routine. The cat litter is dumped at 7. The cat is fed at 7:05. The dog goes out at 7:10. The rabbits are watered at 7:20, and my coffee comes out of the machine at 7:29. Not 7:28, not 7:30. Now, I know I'm the only slight lunatic in the room. Well, maybe other than Catherine and I. But here's the thing. May I gently say that this whole thing's getting to us? That things that were never important before now are? That we're developing routines that almost are becoming, dare I gently say, compulsive? Yesterday, Joyce said to me at one point, "What's the matter?" And this is what I have learned over the last 2 years. Do not respond. Because what might be the matter inside of me at that exact moment has nothing to do with her. Nothing. A matter of fact, she works in a greenhouse, loves it. She spends her time with her horse. She is vaguely aware that COVID exists. Nor does she really care that much, because at work, there's two of them, and they're a greenhouse apart. And at the horse, well, apparently, you can't get COVID from a horse. Only I'm trying to gather evidence that you can. I'm still smiling. I need to apologize before I get into the depths of the homily this morning, because some of you are going to be profoundly offended by what I'm about to say. Jesus arrives on the beach, and some of you would like to think that it was a lovely sunny day. Well, you know, the sun's there. That's good. Yeah. There's only about 60 or 70 degree difference between today and what it was probably like when he wandered onto the beach. Well, we like to say he wandered onto the beach, but I happen to think that Christ had meaning, purpose. He had goals, objectives, and tasks, and when he showed up, there was a purpose. So he wanders over to the boats. And the gentlemen who had been pouring their guts into their job, making a livelihood, trying to feed their families, trying to maintain a community in the middle of a socioeconomic mess, they'd had a bad day. I'm not smiling anymore. They'd had a bad day. You see, the night before and throughout the day, the fishing had been horrible. Now, I know that most of the men, you know, the real men, the men that are men in this room, the average fish that you catch is at least this long and probably a pike. But they couldn't catch even this big. It'd been a bad night. And Jesus walks up to Simon Peter, and I think Simon Peter didn't know something about Jesus. I think he didn't know this passage of Scripture. I knew you before you were born. In other words, he knew exactly what he was dealing with, and he walks up to Simon Peter, and here's just a guess. These are a group of men that were men that were men, and they had just failed miserably at fishing 101. And he said to one of them, push your boat back out into the water and try throwing your nets on the other side. And every single one of those guys responded like men from the factory in Stelco. So you knew what the language was. It's what Dr. Terry Wardle calls language 101, which is a reasonable facsimile of all of George Carlin's favorite bad words. But Simon Peter seemed to respond differently. He says, do you realize we've been at this all night? And then he looks into Jesus' eyes and says, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it once. Because he saw something in Jesus' eyes that meant he could trust him. And they pushed the boats back out, and as you know, they caught more fish than they could possibly imagine. A matter of fact, it was like sinking the boat. And this isn't just one or two guys going out on a fishing trip who create the story on the way home of how many of the huge fish they lost. This is a beach filled with people. There is witnesses to the miracle. But don't miss the meaning of the miracle. The meaning of the miracle is God will provide the sustenance, the food, the basic needs of what people need. God will provide. Some will say to me today, Stephen, that's wonderful theology, but it never happens. God's been messing up for generations. There's no food in certain places in the world. I propose to you today, my dear friends, that has nothing to do with God. That has everything to do with how humanity shares the resources that we have. Where you know that there's military all over the world at airports, that when the food arrives into developing countries, it is confiscated by the government and it never gets to the people. That's not God not providing. That's people's greed. You don't have to wear that. That's not yours. But it is the reality of the world we live in. And way back then, Jesus was saying, I can provide the basic needs of humanity, food, through the wonders and generosity of God. And then something else happens, and there's a calling on Simon Peter. Now, this is where some of you are going to get angry. And I'm a little nervous that some of you have the coats, your coats, so nearby. You don't even have to go to the rack to go get them. You have them right where you are. So let me be as gentle as I can. Jesus says to Simon Peter, come with me. You're not satisfied with what you're doing. There's no joy in what you're doing. You're getting up every day more depressed than yesterday. Now, some of that was verbally said, and some of it was said internally. But you can believe it was all said. Because otherwise, why would Simon Peter decide, oh, I think I'll just quit everything, leave everything behind, and follow Jesus? There had to be some level of communication that we're not aware of. Spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, there had to be some communication. And Simon Peter, in obedience, see, there's the word. I can see a couple of you reaching for your coats. In obedience, followed Jesus. Now, each and every one of us have a number of people that have profound influence in all the decisions that we make. But here's the hard part. Remember, I apologized before. It's your call. No matter what other voices are in your life, it's your call. If God speaks to you and you ignore him, I promise you, he will keep presenting his request to you until you get it. And the way he sees it, you probably have 70 to 80 years at least to get it. So he'll just keep presenting it. And you can get it earlier and do something and enjoy it, or you can wait as long as you'd like until you get it and it's harder to do it. It's your call. You do have complete protest freedom. You can protest. Matter of fact, it's good to protest. It's good to protest because it allows the rest of the culture to know that we don't always agree with each other, and we find mutually respective ways to articulate that we don't agree with each other. As long as we stay within the realm of mutually respective behaviors, it's okay to protest. But if God has called you to something, you can do it now or you can do it later, but you're going to do it. Or not. I remember sitting with a man in his mid-80s, and I had been called to his home because he had just been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And I thought I was going to have the challenge of trying to say something that had meaning and purpose for the cancer. And he sat me down and he said, I was called to be a priest when I was 21. And instead, I ran the family business my whole life. I got married and had kids and did what I was expected to do by everybody else. And now I have less than 6 months to live. And I never responded to the call. Now, I need you to know this morning that I can share this story because he has died. He had a successful life. He had a wonderful marriage. He was a great dad. He was very successful in his business. But he never had joy. Never had peace. Never. And those aren't my words, those are his. So whatever it is that you have an inkling that God is calling you to do today, as small or as big as you may think it is, know that you have all the time in the world to say yes. I'm not forcing you or pushing you in any way. I just, matter of fact, 70, 80, 90 years, some of you are comforted by my reassurance that there's that much time. Simon Peter did respond, and he did respond with enthusiasm, but let us remember that it was 3.5 years later, in the midst of the process towards crucifixion, that Peter panicked. When the going got rough, he got going the other way. And he ran away from Christ for a while. And it wasn't until Christ provided him with another opportunity to see the abundance of blessing that he returned to him. Are these difficult words in this culture, in this community, at these times? Yes, they are. Am I keenly aware of what's going on around the rest of the world? I surely am. Some would even say, Stephen, if the cat litter bothers you, you need to see your doctor. And you'd be right. And I did. And that old geezer told me I had to lose another 20 pounds.
I don't think he listened to anything I said. He told me if I went on a soup diet for 30 days, that would be a good start. And had no sense of humor when I said, chunky soup? This isn't an accusation. This is not a critique. This is the revealing of the good news that God has meaning and purpose for every life, no matter where you've been, what you've done, who you've been with. God invites you into the sharing of the kingdom, not later, now. And that you have a meaning and a purpose that is significant in your home and in this place. The question is, what is it? And when will you say, here I am, Lord, send me. Amen.